Marty Machowski tells the story of a family who were going on holiday. But due to the dad's work schedule, he was not going to be able to join them until the middle of the week. At least that's what he told them. Secretly, while his family drove the 10-hour trip, the dad flew ahead by plane and checked into the hotel before his family. When it was close to the time when they were to arrive, he called his wife to find out exactly where they were. The dad's plan was to stand a few miles up the road from the hotel and hitchhike as his family drove past. When his family passed by, they saw him, but they didn't recognise him. And when he ran after them waving his arms, they thought the poor hitchhiker was upset because he didn't get a ride. Finally, the father ran to the hotel after his family, and they only realised who he was when he called out to them by name. You see, they hadn't recognised him on the road because they hadn't expected him to be there. What that family experienced is similar to what two of Jesus' followers experienced as they walked the 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus that first Easter Sunday, shortly after Jesus rose from the dead. Well, what is it that Luke wants us to learn from this story? There's a couple of things. Firstly, he wants us to learn that Jesus is alive. You see, the events of the previous few days had given those two followers of Jesus plenty to discuss, a bit like a major event today that everyone is speaking about. And as they journey, a man joins them. Now, Luke tells us this person is Jesus, but the two followers don't realise it's him. They think he's just a hiker. Like the story I began with, Jesus was the last person they expected to see. After all, last time they saw Jesus, he was certified dead. He'd been taken for burial. Jesus was the last person they expected to meet on the road with them. But Luke tells us there was something else going on. For verse 16 tells us that God had kept them from recognising Jesus. It was like they had blindfolds on. We'll think more about why that is later. Well, Jesus asked them about the conversation they were having, and their appearance said it all in verse 17. It says they stood still, their faces downcast. I love what Cleopas says to Jesus. Literally, he says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" It's like Cleopas is saying, "You know, where have you been? Have you no idea about Jesus of Nazareth?" Of course, if anyone knew, it was the man Cleopas was talking to. He was talking to Jesus, but he did not know. And so he and the other follower reviews the story of Jesus and what's happened to Jesus. To Jesus. He tells Jesus all about his ministry, his trial, his crucifixion, as if Jesus doesn't know what's going on. Right at the heart of their story is their sense of disappointment. In verse 21, they say, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to set Israel free. Their hope had been buried in the tomb with Jesus. And what's more, they tell Jesus about the empty tomb that the women found and the vision of the angels who said he was alive, but they weren't convinced. As readers, we want to shout out to them like in a pantomime, "Open your eyes, he's alive, he's beside you." Well, when did they finally realise it was Jesus? Well, it's when they invited Jesus to stay with them. And Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them. It was then that they recognised him. Perhaps it reminded them of when Jesus fed the 5,000. Or what the 11 disciples had told them about the Last Supper, when Jesus took bread then and broke it and gave it to them. Perhaps as Jesus broke the bread, these two followers noticed the scars on his hands. Well, we just don't know why that moment their eyes were opened, but it was at that point that God opened their eyes to recognise it was Jesus, that he was alive. And of course, when they run back to Jerusalem to tell the others, well, they were actually greeted with the same message. They went to tell them that Jesus was alive, and they're greeted with the message, "It's true, the Lord has risen. He's appeared to Simon." Luke wants us to know, without doubt, that Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. And far from our hopes being dashed when he died, his death actually established our hope, the sure hope of forgiveness and freedom from our sins. Jesus is alive. He's conquered death. And that means every claim and promise he made is true. But why didn't Jesus just reveal himself to them? Why didn't he just go, ta-da, it's me? Why were they initially kept from seeing him? Well, secondly, we note that we don't need to see Jesus to know he's alive. We don't need to see Jesus to know he's alive. Did you notice what Jesus did before he revealed himself to them? He gave them a Bible study, a 7-mile-long Bible study, explaining to them from the scriptures what the scriptures said concerning himself. He showed them from God's word that they should have expected his death. It was necessary that he died. He had to, because this was God's plan all along. It was promised, foreshadowed in the law and the prophets. Of course, he must have told them about the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, about the Passover lamb from Exodus, about Psalm 2 and Psalm 22, and countless other passages that spoke of his sufferings and then glory. The scriptures are all about Jesus, a bit like a stick of rock that has a word running through the whole thing. Well, so Jesus and his salvation runs through the whole Bible. The Old Testament looks forward to him, the New Testament looks back to his coming, and then forward to his return. It's all about Jesus. Jesus hid his identity from them until they'd realized from the scriptures that he had to die and rise again and enter glory. And in so doing, Jesus was preparing the ground for those who would hear about his death and resurrection in the future. People just like you and me. People who haven't seen the risen Jesus, but are able to know he's alive because God's word had promised it all along. I wonder if you know the feeling that Cleopas and the other disciple had of having their hearts set ablaze as the Bible was opened to them. Have you had that experience where the scriptures have set your heart ablaze with excitement and joy and love for the Lord as you've understood passages and what they mean for you? Have you had your hearts filled with Easter hope like Cleopas and the other disciple? If not, could it be that you've never seriously looked into God's word? Perhaps you might feel in the dark this morning about what Easter is really all about. Perhaps, like the two in our passage, you've had your hopes dashed in life and you've yet to understand how Jesus is alive and changes everything. If that's you, why not have a chat with me afterwards? I have a couple of courses that I'd really like to run for those who are interested. One is called Hope Explored and the other is called Christianity Explored. And these courses give you an opportunity to ask your questions and explore the message of Easter for yourselves by getting into the Bible. You too could have your heart set ablaze, just like Cleopas and his friend. You too could have your eyes open to Jesus, to his glorious everlasting hope for you. And if you're already a believer today, but find your heart having grown cold or cynical about the death and resurrection of Jesus, could it be that you too need to get back into God's word so that your heart can begin to burn again? This new term, we are starting a new series in our growth groups looking at the church from the scriptures. It's a great opportunity again of getting back into the word of God so that your heart can begin to burn for the Lord Jesus and for his purposes in the world. If you'd like to join a growth group and you're not yet part of one, please speak to me or to Jane Thomas after the service. Amen.